Good to see everybody here today. Hope you've all had a good week. We really have. I have to start off by thanking everyone who helped make Rebecca's wedding so nice. She had a small wedding. It was mainly for family, but we had a lot of people that came in and helped, and so we had some friends there too. Even though they were in the background, they were really the main part of the wedding because they got everything ready, and we appreciate each one of y'all who took part in that. I really appreciate Clay as well speaking for me last Sunday. After all that, we were really ready to get away, and so we went to Utopia. If you've never been there and are wondering why Utopia is called Utopia, there are really two reasons. One is the Sabinal River runs right through it, and we always try and get a little house or cabin on the Sabinal River and enjoy that. And the second thing is you don't have any cell phone service in Utopia. and so you actually get to see something other than the tops of everybody's heads as they're looking like. So it's really, I really enjoy that part, and we had a great family time. I do need to tell you one thing so you can take warning for one of my family members. I was out there. The river that runs behind the place that we stopped we were down there, Tegan and I and Carolyn, and Tegan loves to throw rocks, and so we were putting rocks, or I was putting rocks on a couple of rocks that were kind of in the middle of this stream, and so I was straddling these two rocks and putting them up, and we were taking target practice off. We would throw rocks off of them, and so I said to Tegan as I was putting one of the rocks up, "Tegan, throw me a rock," and he's a lot faster than I thought. And before I could turn around, I could just see something coming out of the corner of my eye. Hit me right in the back of the head with the rock. And anyway, you can only imagine how penitent he was. We were going up, and he was telling his dad how the contest went. He said, as far as the rocks we were able to knock off, he said it was Pops got four rocks and I got four rocks. And I said, "Yeah, tell him what else happened. Tell him how you hit me on the back of the head with a rock." He said, "That's right. That's five for me." So anyway, if any of y'all want to buy or a grandson, I'll give you a good price on him. Faithfulness is one of the things that we sang about this morning. The very second song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," is just a perfect description of God. As a matter of fact, when Mark was asking for descriptions of God that he wanted to get from the class to be talking about during the next few weeks, I believe it was Buffy who said faithfulness. And that is exactly right. We serve a God who is faithful. And because of that, he demands us to be faithful as well. But it's a pleasant exchange, is it not? When you think about it, when we commit to be married, we really are committing our faithfulness to one another. And we want to be faithful to our spouse just as we expect them to be faithful to us. And so this faithfulness is important. I was thinking about that as we were traveling on our vacation last Sunday morning. We stopped in a small town and went to a small congregation. And I think besides the seven of us that were on the trip, I think they had about 10 people there. And I don't believe there was a single one of them that was under the age of 70 at that congregation. And yet they were faithful. The song leader really kind of had to lean up against the pew just in order to lead songs, but he was doing so, and he was doing so in a very beautiful way. And then the preacher had to sit down on a chair because he had just gotten to that age. But yet the lesson was excellent. They were faithful. And then when we went and got to Utopia that evening, we worshiped with the congregation there. And again, it was pretty much the same thing. Other than our family, there may have been 10 or 15 people, and there may have been one or two that were under the age of 40. But I would suspect that the average age at that congregation, other than the ones that we brought with us, was probably about 70. And the preacher was, I believe, probably a little bit past retirement age, and he had glasses that were about that thick, and as he read, he had to hold the Bible just right up here, and yet gave a beautiful lesson. And it was nice to see the faithfulness of this congregation. But it made me think of two things. One was just that. They were not giving up. But the second thing it made me think about was really to have a deep appreciation for Happy. I was enjoying listening to Copeland just kind of coo before I got up here. He's very well behaved. Oh, I'll tell one more story on that well behaved. As we were sitting in Utopia, one of the people came up and said, "Boy, your grandkids are just so well behaved." I said, "I was noticing that. I was really kind of proud of that." And I hadn't any more gotten that out than we heard a big crash from up front. Dylan, our one-year-old grandson, had knocked off a basket of flowers that was about this big. Fortunately, they were fake, and we were able to put them back. But pride does go before a fall. What a blessing it is to have our small ones, to have our Sunday school classes that are typically filled. We would love to have them filled with more, certainly, but what a blessing to have families with young kids here. And then, now today was kind of unusual because our teens, I think, were all off of, nearly all, on a band trip. They made it to state, and so they're heading out, and we're proud of them. We want to pray that they'll have a safe trip, and their families will have a safe trip as they travel to go see them. It's an exciting time, but again, our teens, they're faithful. And then we've got so many young couples that are faithful. And then we've got those who have just, they've been here probably since close to, maybe not close to the founding of the church, but if they weren't, their family was. Faithful throughout the generations. And I'm not sure that we stop often enough. I'm not sure that I stop often enough to express how thankful we are for that faithfulness that you show. There are times it would be much easier to be at work. You know, we all know that. There are times where you hear and you take the break, and yet you have to wrestle your thoughts from time to time. Do you not? Because you know you've got this to do, and yet you want to be here, especially on the first day of the week as we gather together to break bread. And so we appreciate that and our visitors. But each one. Faithfulness is so important. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, familiar passage, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law." One of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. Now, as you look at these things, you would have to admit that you can have these things in kind without the Spirit within you. We see kind people that have no seeming connection to God, or God does not seem to have a hold over them, but they're kind. And as far as joy, though joy is certainly a spiritual attribute mainly, there are people who seem happy enough. Again, joy goes farther than that. There are people who seem to have peace. There are many people who are not faithful Christians that have way more patience than I do. I'm working on it. But the point of this is that the type of attributes we're talking about are only fully developed if you have the Spirit within you. We make a stress, or we stress often the plan of salvation, not because we don't realize fully that most people on any given day are Christians, but we know that there are some who are not yet and who are thinking about it. Some may be here for the first time who have never heard about it. And so we talk about the plan of salvation and how important it is to not only hear the word, but once you've heard it, to believe it, to believe in the Christ that is preached within the good news, and to be able to confess that belief that He is the Son of God, to believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then we know we have to repent of our sins. And then once we have done all those things, it culminates with baptism. And we're told in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 that baptism does two things. It washes away our sins, forgives our sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not the miraculous gifts that were, that came about by the apostles placing their hands upon people after they'd become Christians, or even the Holy Spirit himself coming down and descending upon those, such as the apostles and the household of Cornelius. That was different. But the gift of the Holy Spirit that we have is the Spirit within us. We're told in three separate ways. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Spirit of God within us. We have the Spirit of Christ within us, lest we fail the test. But they're all the same. They're one. And so this Spirit within us will grow these types of fruits. When I lived in Washington before, I imagine I just thought there was one type of apple. I was a little boy, and you want an apple? Sure. But in Washington, they were connoisseurs of apples because they grow apples everywhere. I can't remember all the names. Seems like there was a Macintosh, a Granny Smith, which was a little bit sour, and then there was Red Delicious apples, and they were all good. They were all apples, but they were different kinds. A Granny Smith was not a delicious, and so if you wanted a delicious apple, the only way you could get it was off of a Red Delicious apple tree. And the only way you could get a Red Delicious apple tree was to plant a Red Delicious apple seed. You could still have an apple from another tree, but it wasn't the same kind. You can have faithfulness within this world, but it is not the type that is the fruit of the Spirit. The faithfulness that we're talking about is something that comes from God, that grows within us. It also comes from our knowledge of him who called us. But faithfulness is so important that the Apostle John, when he was getting quite old, as a matter of fact, we're not sure exactly how old he was. We're going to look at 3 John in just a moment. But he was probably at least in his 70s. He may have been in his 80s or 90s at this point. And he's writing to faithful Christians. And in verse 3 of 2 John, he says this: "It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth." That really is a great definition of faithfulness, is it not? Walking in the truth. And isn't it interesting, the Apostle John, who, as you read his books, certainly they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Every word is accurate. But as you read the different books and the different letters in the New Testament, you can also see that the writers wrote with their own personality as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And John talks so much about love. And you can just see his joy in the faith. He says, "It gave me great joy to hear about your faithfulness." I've enjoyed watching Carolyn's dad, Alvin, this last year. He turned 90 this last year, about to turn 91, and he is in the process of trying to have everybody in his home this year. And the reason he's doing that is he wants to encourage them to be faithful. Most of y'all have probably been in his home. You've certainly either had the invitation, or you will get it if he has the strength to do so. But you talk about somebody who has joy in seeing faithful people. It's the older people. It's the ones who have lived the life, who have fought the fight, who have walked the walk, and now they want to encourage others because they know that this is really what's important. Your faithfulness is important. We talked about the faithfulness for a little bit in the attendance, but that's important. That's one of the reflections of our faithfulness, but that's a small part, is it not? Maybe 4 hours out of 168 hours during the week. What are you doing the rest of the week? Are you faithful to God? Are you digging into his word when you can? Are you thinking about his word when you can? Are you praying to him on every occasion and thinking about how your actions impact your service to him? Are you seeking his help out on a regular basis? We live in a world that seems to be coming unraveled at the seams sometimes. Are you asking for his help? That's all part of faithfulness. And John, as an elder man, said, "It gave me great joy to hear of your faithfulness." In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus points out something about faithfulness that maybe we really need to take to heart. Part of faithfulness is obedience. But obedience is not the main part. It's why you're obedient. Does God require obedience to His commands? And the answer is absolutely. The reason that we are so careful to make sure that we are seeking out His plan of salvation is we don't want to miss out on heaven. The reason that we're so careful to seek out the way that the worship was done is because we want to make sure that we're doing it as close to the mark as we can. Now, we're not perfect, are we? But we're trying to be. And the reason we seek out the way we're to live, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't be immoral, do to others as you'd have them do to you, is because there is something to faithfulness that goes just beyond checking the boxes, done that, done that, done that, done that. In Matthew chapter 23, he talks to people who think it's checking the boxes, and he says to them this, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin," or cumin, I don't know how to pronounce it, but here's the point. They were hypocrites because they were tithing? And Jesus didn't stop there. He says, "But you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." It's not just doing it, it's understanding why you do it. Do you love God enough to do things that he commands? Are you faithful and you continue to do that? I've mentioned before, I've always liked math. Math is one of the few things in this world that actually makes sense to me. It adds up. I can always come up to the answer that, and there's just one right answer. And I like that. When I was teaching math for this long tenure that I had at the school of 6.5 weeks while we were waiting for school to get over with and trying to find somebody that would come in that had seen numbers before, I can remember that as I taught math, you'd have to look at certain formulas. And the kids that understood the formulas, it was really easy for them. But the ones that didn't, they could still plug the numbers into the formula and they could still come up with the right answer. But it's the ones that understood that could really go beyond that. It's one thing to know that there are 4 quarters in a dollar, but it's another thing to understand the relationship of those 4 things that represent 25 cents, and you stick 4 of them together and it makes 100 cents. It's another thing to know that they're exactly equal, that if you have these 4 quarters set in there, that they're the same, and but you add them up and they make a different total. When you read the Word of God, it is important to understand not to lie, but why not? It's important to understand that we have to repent of our sins, but why? Because if you don't ever go to the length of finding out why, it's going to be hard for you to be faithful. And that was the thing about the Pharisees. You would think that the teachers of the laws and the Pharisees would have it down. They were tithing all these things. But Jesus said, "You're missing out on what's most important." And by the way, he doesn't say choose one or the other. And if you choose one, choose the more important. He says this: "You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Obedience was still vital. But without the right attitude, they were missing the point. They were thinking that they were saved by works. They weren't realizing they were created in Christ Jesus to do good works because of what God had done for them by extending His grace to them. They didn't understand that grace is your ticket, your permission to work. If you don't work, you don't do your part, but that's not the reason you're going to be saved. It's a privilege to do that. And so when we talk about being faithful, we need to understand there's a privilege involved with that. If you're faithful in the way that you use the Scriptures, it's going to make everybody's life around you better. Now, I know that there are going to be some who are deep in sin that don't want to hear about that. But if they're lost and condemned, Wouldn't it be at least nice to be able to encourage them and show them this is how you could not be lost anymore and not condemned? I realize there are things people don't want to hear, but again, I want to say this. By being faithful in your Christianity, in your service, it helps everybody. And it makes your life better. That's why when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about something that's good. It didn't say the vegetables of the Spirit, which some of y'all will understand. In Hosea chapter 4, we're going to close with two passages within Hosea, but they're both in chapter 4. But he starts by saying this: "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness." I wouldn't want to hear that judgment, would you? He has a charge to bring. There's no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There's only cursing, lying, murder, and stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. I was listening to a speech by Paul Harvey recently, and he was talking about the way the news is given now. You know, he if you remember Paul Harvey, he gave the news in a little bit different way. But he said, isn't it ironic that all we do is we talk about all the bad things that are going on, and we're leading our young people to believe that this isn't a great nation, and we don't talk about what made the nation great. And I think sometimes we do that with Christianity. Don't you do this. Don't you do that. Shame on you for doing this. True, sin has consequences, and we don't need to hide that. But doesn't the good news need to be at least in part the good part of the news? Jesus died for your sins. You've taken advantage of that. If you have, if you're not sure, you need to do something about that. It's easy enough to do, isn't it? You believe in Christ. You repent of your sins. You're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Now live. You've done that, but you've gone off. Do something about that. Repent. Now live. Be faithful. But because there was no faithfulness in the land, God said this, or had Hosea tell them this: because of this, the land mourns and all who live in it waste away. And then he kind of tells the key to understanding. In Hosea 4 verse 6 now, he says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you've ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children." It comes back to knowledge, doesn't it? Part of the great news about faithfulness is we can find out what it is that God defines as faithful, and then we can do it. But if you don't, the lack of your knowledge will destroy you. Ignorance of the law not only has never been an excuse, but it always costs. It comes at a great price. But for those who find out, there is something great. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." The idea is, if you'll be faithful, he is faithful. We're going to heaven if we are walking in the way he wants us to walk. Not because we deserve it. We know what our sins deserve. But because he is faithful, and he has said, if you will do this, I will do that. And so all that's left for us to do then is to walk faithfully, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That's a good life when we live that way. And it is because, as we sang just a minute ago, great is his faithfulness. Are you faithful? The invitation's open. If you need to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.